Ahoy, hello, welcome to a brand new episode of Baffled. Look at this. It's your favourite facts podcast, once again, bringing you trove from the internet. My name is Dan. The idea is simple. We bring you stuff we found, decide whether they are worth remembering or if they should be utterly forgotten. This week, I will bring you stuff about the worst king ever and the worst actor ever. That might be controversial, though. We'll find out. Connor joins us. What you got, Con?
Did Picasso meet Snoop Dogg? Well, you'll find out. And also, I love the Beatles. I love John Lennon. And what I've got for you is going to make you love him even more.
Awesome. Andrea, what you got for us this week?
So I have a fact about why Dr. Grant from Jurassic Park wasn't actually far off. And one-way goldfish are better than us.
All right. It's all coming up. Let's stick around for a brand new episode of Baffled.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, yes, happy week to you all. Andrea, last week, we had the Monica Geller thing and you, like, announced who she was, like, you confirmed to the world, but yet you've dropped Dr. Grant in there and I don't have a clue who this dude is.
Well, I thought it was a pretty obvious one, but I guess not. Have you not seen Jurassic Park?
I've seen Jurassic Park, but I'm guessing Dr. Grant is in it, right? I'm just saying, if you just kind of say who, like, it's a pretty, like, common name. Is it Richard Attenborough? Is that him?
No. It's like the main dinosaur guy, not the old guy,
but the not main the old guy. Right. So it's Jeff Goldblum. Brilliant. All right. We've confirmed that before we get into the facts. So here's the deal. If you're new around here, thank you very much for listening. We are going to share a few facts, things that we found online, just decide if they are worth remembering, if they are any pub ammo at all. And let's get cracking then. Con, what's your first fact of the show?
Really fun one to open, actually. There was a short period of time where Picasso and Snoop Dogg were alive together.
Okay, cool.
I know, but the reason that I love this so much, because I thought Picasso was alive in like the 1500s. I'm just throwing it out there. I had no idea that he died in 1973. Did not know that. That is absolute. Yeah, I know, right? News to me. So he was alive at the same time as Snoop Dogg. Ridiculous.
He must have been an old dude, right? I think he was born in the 1800s.
Old dude.
I thought like 1500s. I thought he was like, what's the other, like Michelangelo or like.
Yeah. No. I knew he wasn't like that old. But the idea that I didn't really know that. And what's funny is, Connor, you started by saying, did Picasso meet Snoop Dogg? I would imagine no.
I can't imagine a 91-year-old man met a baby that he doesn't know. But anyway, Picasso was 91 when he passed away. Snoop Dogg was born. So there was an overlap between Snoop Dogg being on the planet and Picasso. I really, really enjoyed it. I always thought, I put Picasso in kind of the same time frame as like Van Gogh. I always, when I think of like Van Gogh, like Picasso, they were way back in their day. They were way back. But yeah, Picasso died in 1973. My dad was alive at the same time as Picasso. My mum was alive. No. Yeah, my mum was too. How weird. Didn't know that.
Well, the biggest question is, perhaps your dad met Picasso.
Yeah, I reckon so. My dad's from Romford in Essex. You know, he used to knock about there at the cafes and stuff. His dad owned a fish and chip shop. So yeah, I reckon Picasso's probably passed by his way a couple of times. Absolutely.
Where's Picasso from?
Italian, isn't he? Is he Italian?
I thought he was Spanish.
Spanish. There we go. Spanish. Yeah, died at 91 years old. He died from lung congestion. May he rest in peace, a true artist.
Like, you don't have to do that. You don't have to be, like, add that tone of seriousness. Like, it's taken... He didn't die yesterday. It's taken as read that, you know, he rests in peace.
Rest in peace. Dan wants no additional information no more. He just wants it as it is. Monica Geller, I don't need to know where she is. I don't need to know what she's from. Picasso, I don't need to know how he dies. I just need to know he died. That's all I need.
Well, I don't need to know. Also, what is lung congestion? Tell me.
Cough, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, he's one of those people, right, where he just... It's not, for me, it's not that he existed ages ago. It's that he's so famous and he did something so important and bizarre and that was otherworldly that he kind of... You don't ever think about when he was around. He was just there. You know, it's a bit like Albert Einstein, you know. I couldn't really tell you when Albert Einstein was about. I just knew that he was.
But we've sort of touched on this a little bit.
That's like his thing. Surely you would know.
Well, yeah, I know there was something about the atomic bomb, right? As in the idea of energy and mass having this exponential rise. But I couldn't tell you when he was, really.
Fair enough.
Oh, we had this chat before about, like, back in the day and how, like, things are different, you know, obviously back in the day, blah, blah, blah. But whenever I think of people like Picasso and Van Gogh, sort of that, I always put them, like, way back, like, in a world that was just years and years, ages and ages and ages and ages and ages, and ages ago, like, you know, the absolute ancient times. When actually, it was more recent than you think. So, yeah, Picasso being alive at 1973 definitely shocked me. I had no idea. I thought he was alive in, like, the 1700s or something, I don't know.
The big question is, how often do you think about Picasso and Van Gogh? You said, whenever I think about them, how often?
I went to the Van Gogh immersive experience the other day. Thank you very much, my friend. I had a great time. Yeah, it was 10 out of 10. I tell you, I loved every minute of it. Hey, I'm not just a pretty face, Dan. I got knowledge on art, I tell you.
No. I'm not letting that lie. Because, of course, you've thought about Van Gogh when you've gone to the museum. That's taken as read. But on a normal wet Wednesday, when are you, like, you're not going to the museum, when are you thinking about Vincent van Gogh?
2 weeks prior to when I went to the immersive experience, it was a rainy day. I saw it pop up on my phone and I thought, yeah, that's a bit of me. Then I had a little look into Van Gogh's life. There you go.
Well, that's a big question then. It's like your Roman Empire. Do you remember this huge thing last year that all blokes think about the Roman Empire? Andrea, what's the thing that you think about on the reg?
Films. I really like films. So I'll think about, like, I don't know.
Like the ending of a film. Yeah, I know it. The ending of the film. It wasn't meant to happen like that. I get it.
Wait, what?
You know, like when you're thinking about a film that you love and you think that ending wasn't the correct ending that I desired when I watched it. I always have that. Do you not have that? When you watch the film and you love it and you're like, it didn't end right. It wasn't meant to be the ending. Bond wasn't meant to die. Sorry.
The only one that I've had that feeling with, it wasn't a film, it was a TV show, it was Game of Thrones, but... No, like American Psycho, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Like what? Because that's like a make up your own ending thing, isn't it?
I don't know. I've never seen it. Is that the one with, that's got Christian Bale in, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I know of it. I've never seen it. I wonder if there's like, so Connor, apart from Vincent van Gogh, who apparently you're thinking about daily when you get the adverts on your phone, what's just something that is always in your mind that it doesn't take more than a second for you to just, it pops into focus?
Songs. Constantly. Songs. You know, we spoke about this, didn't we, in the episode the other week about waking up thinking of songs. I always seem to have a song playing in my head continuously. Honestly. I'm like an iPod on shuffle in my brain 24/7.
I think everyone is, though. That happens to most people. Happens
all
to
day,
me.
Every day. All day, every day, though. Yeah, all day, happens, every day.
But it happens to me.
Whoa. I'm telling you, I'm going to rein you right in this year. You asked me a question, I answered it. Yeah, just because you don't like the answer. All right. No, what happens to everybody? Oh, that's what's in my head. You asked me the question.
I know. But I'm saying that it does happen to everyone. And you're like an Instagram post that takes ownership of this. You know, those Instagram posts. It only happens to me. Exactly. Yes, it happens to everybody. Oh, I didn't realise I was the only person that got cold during January. Yes, I know. Yeah. Brilliant. Okay. Andrea, I don't normally like to lead, you know, whatever facts you want to tell, but I need to know more about Dr. Grant.
Okay, so chickens are the closest living relatives to the T-Rex. And I say that Dr. Grant wasn't actually far off because in the film Jurassic Park, he's like very adamant that birds are the descendants of dinosaurs and raptors, basically.
Yeah. Well, they, I knew that birds and dinosaurs were very close, not just from Dr. Grant, legend, but from other things. It is peculiar, though, if you think about like T-Rexes being the most terrifying creature from history, and the one that they're most like now is a chicken.
There's some birds that look like dinosaurs now, like the emu looks like an actual dinosaur. I would have guessed that was closer to being relative to like a T-Rex or a raptor or something than a chicken.
Here's what's amazing. Birds back then weren't actually dinosaurs, right? So like your Pterosaurus,
what a name that is. Pterosaurus. Oh,
they were technically different from dinosaurs. So what's amazing is that the birds that we have today, although descended from dinosaurs, are nothing really like the birds that were going along back there, I guess.
Gigantosaurus.
Oh, pterodactyl. Pterodactyl is the one I'm thinking.
Pterodactyl, what a name that is as well. Up the pterodactyl. I would be a pterodactyl if I was a dinosaur. That'd be me.
The flying ones, the
flying pterodactyl, just be up there, just like looking over everyone, having a good time. I would be the pterodactyl. I'd drop a stinker right on Dan, who's on the floor. He would be the dinosaur on foot. I'd be that bird poo running down his back, 100%. I'd make sure of it. There you go.
Where's that
little Danosaurus down there? Where is he?
Have you seen, talking of Jurassic Parks, in one of the newer ones where they go into like the ocean or something and there's this like enormous beast that's got like rows of teeth and it's the size of like 50 double-decker buses? That would be me. That's me. That's me. It's a dinosaur, I think. Just like takes no prisoners. Just chews everyone in his path, I think. Andrea, you would be like a Triceratops?
I was just going to say that's my favorite one. So I'm happy with that.
Because they're a bit regal, right? Because they've got the spikes, but they've also got this fanned head out the back. I think that there's an element of them being fancier than everyone else.
They're veggie, aren't they? So I'd probably be... I feel like...
Oh, yeah.
Danosaurus. The Andreasaurus, the Conoraptor. I'll tell you what, I would be the Conoraptor. What a dinosaur that is. Can you imagine it? Sick.
Have you ever called yourself the Anaconda?
Oh, sick. I like that. The Anaconda. Good bit of business, that one, Dan. The Anaconda. Yes.
Were anacondas around during that part of the...
No, Andrea, I don't think so.
Don't ruin the moment for me. I'm an anaconda.
They're huge. They're like actual... They're really big, aren't they?
Yeah, huge beasts.
Which kind of suits me as well, because I've got a great big head, so it matches. I'm the anaconda, I'll take that.
All right, let's move on before Connor gets any more ideas for what he can walk into the Red Lion in Essex and shout, "Oi, it's the anaconda. Give me a Peroni top." I want to tell you about the worst king ever, right? Now, we are going back in time for this, so just bear with it, okay? Attalus III reigned... He was the king of Pergamum, which is an area which is in Turkey now, right? He reigned from 138 BC to 133 BC. Are you still with me, Con?
Mate, just seriously, though, you've done this for 4 years.
What?
You've lost everyone, mate.
I don't even know
the fella's name. Remind me of his name.
Well, I'm going to go back over it. All that was needed there was a year. Anyway, Attalus III, he was a king... 2,000 years ago, he was a terrible king. He had little interest in ruling. Instead, he wanted to study botany and gardening and just do what he wanted. The problem was he had no male children or heirs of his own. So in his will, he just said about this land that he had ruled, he said, yeah, the Romans can have it. Yeah, and the thing is, his people in ancient Greece back there used to fight the Romans who wanted to invade, and he just said, nah, you know what? Can't be arsed with this, can't be dealing. Just give the land over. That's what I'm saying. I think he's the worst king ever, Con. What do you say?
Yeah, I mean, it's mental. Isn't that, Andrea, isn't that mental? He gave over the land to the Roman. That's crazy. I mean, really, honestly, a moment in history, that. Have it. There you are. Don't want it no more. Ta-da. Cheers.
That's what I'm saying. Andrea, I know that you probably...
Andrea, I know that he's rubbish.
I know that you probably have a lot of questions about this, so I'll open the floor to you because you and I are like-minded. And by the way, after that little outburst from Connor, I'm the one that gets the crap on the reviews. I'm the one that people, I'm the one that gets all the stick. Look at me, educating. Andrea, please, ask away. I'm all ears.
So this guy gave land away. I'm really confused, I'm not going to lie.
He gave away his kingdom. It's like the president of the United States. It's like Joe Biden when he eventually dies or whatever, when he just sleeps himself to death. It's just him saying, yeah, by the way, China can have the US. That's what it's like. It's like, you know what, Russia can have it. It's the same thing.
Was it a bit different back then, though? Was it a little bit different back then, maybe? You know, China and US now, it's a bit more built up, isn't it? A lot of civilians. Back then, it was probably just empty land, wasn't it?
I don't think so, not in this area. Busy. This was 2,000 years ago, but it was busy, and they were waging these wars. Anyway, anyone else got any more questions?
No, sir. Absolutely no, sir. Thank you, though.
And Andrea, you good? You learned everything you wanted to take away from that fact?
Yeah, that was a really good fact.
Thank you very much.
Hello, my name is Mark Thompson, your guide aboard the Constellation Station podcast. Tune in every Monday for your weekly guide to all things going on in the skies above the UK that week. From meteor showers to comets and eclipses to supernova explosions, I will have it all. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you get your podcasts from. But until then, let's hope for some clear skies.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction and free shipping. And that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Well, listen, I'm thankful that you're listening, and I'm glad that you want to be educated, right? Because I bring the education. I don't know what bump these other two bring, but you can always get in touch. It's baffledpod.com. We've got more facts, so don't worry about it. Connor, give us your second fact of the show. I bet it's something deep and meaningful.
Yeah, it's to do with John Lennon. John Lennon, once upon a time, received a letter from a student telling him that his teacher made them analyse the Beatles lyrics in music class. Amused by this, Lennon composed I Am the Walrus, the song I Am the Walrus, with intentionally confusing and meaningless lyrics to baffle those who try to analyse the song.
I've always wondered what the meaning of that song was.
It's such a good song as well. Yeah, it's such a good song. There's no meaning. Lennon had him. He had him on strings, mate. He was just doing it. They're like, I am Walrus. What does that mean? What does walrus mean? Can you imagine the music teacher as well? You know what teachers are like when they're like, I am the walrus. What does that mean for you? Discuss. You're there like,
God, that always drove me mental. That always drove me mental. I don't know if it was the same when you were at school, Andrea, but like we would have like, we would read Shakespeare and honestly, line by line, what do you reckon William Shakespeare meant by writing this word here? And it's like, mate, he was probably just filling out the word count. He was just writing it down. There's no, who cares? And he doesn't know.
I just, because we read Great Gatsby. Did you guys read Great Gatsby?
No, I watched the film though, so that's more or less the same, right?
Well, we had to read it for school. Oh. And there was this like constant like, oh, what does this billboard with the eyes mean? And I just remember specifically like giving this really like detailed answer because I thought what I thought it was like, I went into detail about it and he just shut me down. My teacher was like, no, it means this.
Yeah, stop, you're wrong. Really? Thank
like,
you.
I think films and movies and books and stuff are so subjective, and I think that like it's like your own perspective. I think that's one thing amongst a lot of things that schools did wrong is that like they didn't let you just have your own perspective about things. It was so, everything was so like.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Well, here's the thing. It might not just been all schools. It might have just been that bad teacher. And do we know, like, has F. Scott Fitzgerald ever said what the eyes mean? So you can't just shut someone down. It's like, unless if he's not said it.
Yeah, well, I would like to have a little class. Present yourselves, please. Dan, Andrea, class. Right, can we please discuss the lyrics for I Am Walrus by the Beatles? First bit, discuss. I am he, as you are me, and we are all together. See how they run like pigs from a gun. See how they fly. I'm crying. What does it mean?
I just thought they were on drugs when they wrote that.
Stoned it. Yeah. Makes sense, really. Yeah.
I thought that too, because I can't remember if this was before or after they had gone to India. So they were very spiritual at the time. I am me, you are me, he is we. It sounds very oneness, doesn't it?
Can I just say, though, this is so great because when you look at the next verse as well, Lennon really has completely got these kids in such a pickle when it comes to music class and analysing, because the next bit, sitting on a cornflake waiting for the van to come, corporation t-shirt, stupid bloody Tuesday, man, you've been a naughty boy, you let your face grow long. It doesn't make sense. It actually does not just make, it just doesn't make any actual sense. So yeah, good work, Lennon. I love him even more.
You know the song Life on Mars by David Bowie?
Yeah, great song.
It's a take a look at the law now, beating up the wrong guy, that stuff. Well, that makes no sense. And I think that was because he just took different newspaper clippings. He basically got a load of newspaper clippings with lines and headlines that he liked, shoved them on the floor, squirreled them around, and that's how he got the lyrics for Life on Mars. So it's something very similar in that it's not meant to make any sense.
Hmm. I like it. Maybe he had a letter as well from another class saying they were analysing his songs and he wanted to do... It's nice, isn't it, that all of the big faces in music were really helping those children. You know, they're really helping them out, giving them some good work to analyse. I like it.
Andrea, give us your second fact of the show.
My second fact of the show is the average attention span. The average attention span has decreased by 12 minutes over the last 10 years, which is actually really appropriate for... this podcast.
Yeah, anyway, so how are you getting on with the podcast then? Any chance you finished yet, is it, or are you all right?
Yeah, also, how are you getting on with the TikTok reels, Andrea? Those little, you know. this is the problem.
Do you know what it is?
The swipe generation.
It's inevitable, isn't it? The attention spans are going to go there because there's so much. Like, there's so much. I've spoken about this before, but I struggle so much with streaming services. Like, my attention span with films used to be brilliant. You know, like, I would watch a film and I used to have, like, a video player and I'd be in the film, obviously. When I'm on streaming services, my attention span does disappear a little bit because I look at one film and then my eyes are already on the next, like, category and I'm looking, like, right, what could be better? So tough. So much option.
Like, my fiance likes watching TikTok with me. So when I'm scrolling, she likes looking at it with me because, and she always asks, what makes you stop on a video? And I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know because I have a really short attention span and I'm always flicking. But then one of them will just grab me and I don't know what that is.
Yeah, mate, but what do you mean you don't know? It's the obvious things that are going to grab you, isn't it? A bit of train spotting, anything about post boxes, maybe some rock history, something about cats. I don't know. Maybe like a tofu recipe. You're hooked, mate. Your wedding. Of course you are.
Yeah, I do like a lot of cat videos, but I'm just unsure. I don't really know what it is. Andrea, in the Instagram TikTok game, are you really trying to grab people's attention in the first second?
Well, yeah, that's the thing though, isn't it? Is that people's attention spans are so short that you kind of have to have the beginning of it. I mean, I think it was anything. So, like,
what's a rubbish question?
Oi,
sell yourself.
No,
you know that content you make. Do you try and grip them in the first minute? Yeah, or what do you want to do? I'll tell you what, do you make it really bad to start with and then right at the end you grip them?
Again,
she does.
I get the bad reviews. The actual question was kind of moving towards, have you learned anything that is a surefire way to do that? Like, because everyone's trying to grip our attention, right, in the first second. Is there anything you've learned that really helps that? Like the tricks?
Because it's such short form content, you have to make the first. That's why there's this whole like make the first 3 seconds the most interesting, like grab your attention thing. But I mean, you see that in films and stuff too, and like TV shows where it's like the first episode is the big one. But that's like over a, yeah. So
It is bleak, isn't it though? It is bleak. It is bleak that's what we've been reduced to, right? Is we've got such short attention spans that no one's given anything any time.
I think because there's so much choice that you just have to be like, if you want to show your content, you have to have something that people will want to watch it for, I guess.
Yeah. No, I do. I do feel that. And Connor, when you're making your fashion TikToks, are you thinking about that too? First 3 seconds, you've got to see the shoes or whatever it is.
Mate, of course. First 3 seconds, you see the clobber I'm wearing, you're loaded straight in. I mean, with comments such as, oh, he's the rich one from the Cotswolds that lives in Hackney on mum and dad's money. I mean, it's just what I represent.
Yeah. Two words, yeah. Trust fund. All right, then. Last fact of the show. And, well, after the terrible reaction to my last one, I was considering changing this around, but we're going to do our best, all right? You know who Orson Welles is?
Who?
Sounds really familiar, but I can't remember.
Brilliant. Orson Welles directed Citizen Kane, like one of the most famous movies ever. Did loads of stuff. Actor, storyteller, director, all of that.
I've never... Citizen Kane? I haven't even heard of that.
Yeah, mate, you're mugging me right off now, aren't you?
I'm not. I haven't even heard of Citizen Kane.
You must be mugging me off.
I haven't. I'm not.
It's generally regarded as the best film ever, but no one's ever seen it. Anyway, Orson Welles did a bunch of TV adverts during the 70s and 80s for a wine company. Now, people think that in his contract, he had written that the ad agency had to take him out for a huge lunch before, right? And the problem was, he kept getting smashed. And he kept getting so smashed that he couldn't really do any work and any of the acting on set for the ad. So they had to film him being drunk just to prove to the insurance company that they couldn't do any work that day, so they would pay out. They had to film him being so smashed that he couldn't do any of the acting just so they could show the insurance company, by the way, that's a written off day. Can you pay for everyone? Because what were you meant to do here? Look at him. Look at the state of the dude.
I don't know if I respect it or if I don't. I can't really work it out.
How many days was it that he...
Yeah, like periodically, just days through the shoot, I think. You can even YouTube it. If you type in Orson Welles ad outtakes, you'll see him just being absolutely smashed, trying to remember his lines. And he is like so gone. Like, you know, when you're making some silly decisions, like he is so far gone. It's quite incredible to see. I quite admire it, though. You know, I think a lot of, if you're like one of the most famous actor directors ever, apart from on this podcast, like taking the money and doing an ad, I think take the mick while you're doing it. I don't see the problem in that at all.
I agree. And I can't work out if I do just respect it loads and loads because it is just great. I mean, he's just pissed.
Yeah. Just utterly smashed the whole way through. Speaking of which, Connor, now we've gone from dry January. I want a little update on your mate who was knocking it on the head.
Yeah, terrible. Yeah, he broke it on like the 28th. Finished. Yeah, couldn't cope with it anymore. Some other mate as well, we got a group chat. We're like in this group chat and he's like, you know, got his photo on the 1st of Feb of him with a pint in his hand. And I'm like, mate, I literally bought you a Guinness a week before. But well done. Well done for believing that you done dry Jan. Good for you. It's a great achievement.
Yeah, the people that do it on like the 28th is wild, isn't it? Like you've gone all that way and you're thinking, you know what? I've made it to the last one. I might as well crack on. It is a bit odd. And Andrea, you're taking it easy, right? How are you finding it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any, because like I said before, I didn't really drink that much before. So, but I have had some friends that have done like the 28th or the week, literally like the week before the end of the month, which I find so funny.
Yeah.
It's just, it is tough.
It does slightly blow my mind. I think I made one weekend. Well, listen, thank you very much for listening to this week's episode of Baffled. It's been a one full of education, I think, and you can thank me for that. What have we learned? Chickens are the dinosaurs of 2024. Picasso and Snoop Dogg could have met, but probably did not meet. And I'm sure that you remember the story of King Attalus III, who was such a bad king, he just gave his land away. And that's what you remember tomorrow morning with that song that goes through your head when you wake up. If you do that as well, you're special like Connor. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Until then, see you later. Say goodbye, Andrea.
Bye.
And say goodbye, Connor.
See you later.
Bye, 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 bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.